Jerry Bader Show 1036. Earlier in the show, we talked about what I think is a landmark, or will prove to be a landmark, court ruling in California striking down as unconstitutional a group of five laws that protect unionized teachers in California, saying it violates the Equal Protection Clause for students, often minority students in California, that deserve the same quality education as other students. And I said, I hope this catches on around the country. Probably very high in the list of rotten public schools would be Chicago. If you had any doubts about how rotten, a loyal listener just sent me this. It's from the educationactiongroupnews.org. Paul Robeson High School, class of 2014, senior prom. Listen to this, Jason. Paul Robeson High School, class of 2014, senior prom. Here's the theme. This is our story, not our story. This is our story. A-R-E. Yes. It's hard to deny just how poorly Chicago's public schools are performing when it hits you in the face. Such is the case with the Paul Robeson High School's 2014 prom theme. This is our story, as opposed to our story. That image came from veteran investigative reporter Chuck Goody, who posted the image on his Facebook page. Some people might enjoy mocking the irony of the gross misuse of vocabulary, but unless the organizer of the prom festivities plan the wording this way as a joke, there's nothing funny about the situation. We'll let that stand on its own. All right. There was a major, I mean a stunning upset. See if you can find that. There you go. That email, Jason. A stunning upset yesterday. Number two man in the House of Representatives, Eric Cantor, was the majority leader, was defeated in a primary by a man named David Bratt. Nobody saw this coming. Some polls did show a tightening, but even at that, it appeared to be nearly a double-digit lead for Cantor. Everybody has a theory on what happened here. This is putting a damper on the media narrative of earlier this spring when establishment candidates held off. Now, an establishment candidate did win yesterday, a high-profile one, but this is dampening the mainstream media's narrative that the Tea Party is dead. Because Bratt is dyed-in-the-wool Tea Party. Now, everybody has a theory on what happened to Eric Cantor yesterday, and I have read several of them. One is that this has nothing to do with him being that Cantor being a moderate, that he's really about as every bit as conservative as Bratt, but that he is simply disconnected. I often say politics, political races are fought in the air, advertising, but won on the ground. The woefully underfunded Bratt, and here's another narrative that gets shot. Big money and how awful it is. He was outspent like 10 or whatever to 1. And still he won. I read an analysis piece today that said, well, look, this is due to Cantor being out of touch, being too thinking that his was a national position and not a locally elected House seat. That does happen. The other thing that's rearing its head here is the immigration debate. The Cantor willing to shepherd through immigration reform alienated the conservative base that opposes it. There was a low voter turnout, and that base got out, and he was defeated. This is from an anti-immigration reform group. The voters have spoken, and it's clear that Republicans do not support a comprehensive immigration reform plan that would disproportionately negatively impact the most vulnerable and disadvantaged Americans. I don't think you can put this all in immigration reform. However, stories in the last week or so of children being dumped at the border, creating a humanitarian crisis on our southern border because of a misunderstanding of what the president's policy means in terms of young people. Oh, we can just dump our kids and they won't be deported. And that's what's happening. And it is creating a humanitarian crisis. Authorities can't handle these kids, housing them and all of that. Now, I think talk of immigration reform at that time, in the closing days of this campaign, may have been a factor. But here's something that nobody seems to be saying, and this is the point that I've made again and again and again and again about Tea Party candidates. Voters may think David Bratt's electable. There's nothing wrong with a Tea Party candidate running to the right of an establishment candidate if they are electable. In this district, pretty much any Republican is going to win. If they are convinced that Bratt was to the right of Cantor, even if it is just on the immigration issue, although Cantor has gotten beaten up on that issue by Mark Levin and other national hosts, I don't think it's necessarily the driving issue here. This is when the mainstream media was pronouncing the Tea Party movement dead, I said, no, voters have become pragmatic. If they think the establishment candidate has a better chance to win, they're going to vote for the establishment candidate, because it, particularly in Senate races, which this wasn't, because they want to get rid of Harry Reid. If they think a Tea Party candidate can win, they're going to vote for him or her. That's what I think happened yesterday, combined with renewed interest in the immigration reform debate because of what's happening on the border, and because Eric Cantor thought he could do it exclusively by spending money and not connecting with his constituents. I think those are at least three factors. There may be more. Another discussion I want to have on this before 11 is, what does it mean for Paul Ryan and his possibilities of being House Speaker if he even wants it? 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Charlotte in Stanley. Charlotte, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. I'd like to say that I think Eric Cantor lost because he lost touch with his voters, but he also, it's not just about the immigration. It's about the national debt. It's about everything that we're battling, the IRS. We the people have come to the point where we need somebody who has a little bit more common sense with the regular voters. And I think that he did lose touch with that. And I think that, as I told our senator, our great Senator Ron Johnson, we want you out there in Washington, D.C., and we want you fighting every day for all of these issues, not just what's the latest on the news, but it's the whole Obama regime's everything that's went wrong, the IRS, the immigration thing he's trying to push through. And now, so it's bigger than just one issue. But it's also, our guys aren't, we don't see them out there doing what we want them to do.
Okay, so I want to make sure that I have your theory right here, that Eric Cantor personifies a lack of aggressiveness in taking on the Obama scandals?
I think that, yeah, he's a victim because this person, like the national debt and everything that's happened, he's not aggressive enough, yes.
That's interesting.
His people didn't see him that way.
Yeah, well,
the rest of the world out here sees the same thing. And it might not be just Eric Cantor. It's all of our candidates who go out there, and then they don't seem to be fighting as hard as we, the people, want them to.
See, and here's what's interesting about what you're saying, Charlotte, because there are a couple of ways that this is perceived. The media perceives it as conservatives not believing the Eric Cantors of the world are conservative enough. I would argue what you just argued, that maybe on certain issues he isn't, but for the most part he's pretty conservative, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't fight hard enough for your beliefs. Would that characterize what you think?
Yes, and another thing I wanted to make a point of is that the Tea Party did not help this man. It was reported last night on Fox News that Laura Ingraham said they wouldn't even return his calls. He did this on his own, his grassroots strength
yes.
Of his own.
Yep.
He did it on a very small amount of money. And I think I've gotten all kinds of stuff already from Tea Party people saying, we did it, we did it. They didn't do it. That's one of the things I don't like about the Tea Party. They try to take credit for things that they didn't have much to do with.
Well, hang on, though, because, and here's, you and I agree, but let me make my case on this. Be careful when you say the Tea Party, because in my opinion, there are two Tea Parties. There are some national groups whose names you would recognize that, mm-hmm. I have an issue with. They are not, in my mind, the Tea Party that I became involved with 5 years ago. There is the grassroots Tea Party. What has become the establishment Tea Party didn't help this guy, and that may have been to David Bratt's benefit.
Yes. Yes, I think so. I think that it shows, and I've been saying this for about the last 6 months, this is going to be a wave election. This is going to be total. I don't think they're going to kick out a lot of Republicans, but I do think they're going to, you know, Ron Kind is very vulnerable over in the 3rd Congressional. I mean, I think we're going to see this all across the nation, that we're going to win bigger and better in all of the states, because we are all feeling the same thing. We all see the news. We all know the issues. At least all of the informed voters, like Rush says.
Yes, not the that is the best, Charlotte thinks with the call. That's the best phrase he ever coined, low-information voter. I think, and I would tack on to what Charlotte said, I don't know how big the wave is going to be in November. I am confident, but here's what I would say. You are seeing a blend of pragmatism in some primary voters, which is why some establishment, particularly senators, are winning their primaries. Conservatives want the Senate. If they think the establishment candidate has a better chance of winning, they will bite their lip and vote for him or her. If they think that there's a safe congressional district, and I think this is why David Bratt shocked the world, they're going to go ahead and vote for the conservative. There is talk of Cantor running a write-in, which would be shameful. But we'll see. Chris in Green Bay. Chris, go ahead.
Hi, Jerry. Good to talk to you. Yeah, I'm kind of torn on this, but I think what it is a lot of disconnection with the voters. And I guess my personal experience is I've written politicians, you know, on both sides. And the response I get is usually kind of a normal campaign response where they really don't answer the question. But then I also get, well, you donate to my campaign. And I'd actually just want, all I want is the answer to my question. You know, and I think what Brad did was he actually got, and you made a point that he was on the road. You know, he wasn't more than over the air. And I think that meant a lot to people. You know, I think a lot of, they don't want a politician, they want someone to represent them.
And I think in congressional races, and I brought this up before, I think it is very, that factor is very important in congressional races. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Before the end of the hour, and what does this mean for Paul Ryan and a leadership opportunity in the House? It's 1050.
The Jerry Bader Show.